This is Curtis Baptist Church's podcast. Here at Curtis, we are all about helping people find God, follow Jesus, invest in others, and impact the world. Thank you so much for joining us today, and we hope you are encouraged by this week's message.
Here we are in 2024 and beginning a new year. As you know, twice a year I take a week to do sermon planning, and in the weeks prior to beginning this new year, as I was seeking the Lord put on my heart a number of messages connected to vision. And we are beginning a several-week series on a vision to conquer. Now, I know that the Lord put that on my heart because as a church, we have a lot ahead of us in this new year as we transition potentially with the selling of a part of our property, all the transition and change that could possibly come with that. We have got to prepare ourselves for all that God is calling us to do. In fact, Jim Blunt's going to bring an update on that process at the end of the service today, so he looks forward to sharing that with you. But I'm going to be sharing in the weeks ahead, the months ahead, messages, truths from God's Word that will prepare us as a church for all that God has for us in the new year ahead. And I want that to minister to us. But the message today, yes, we'll address that. But I also want you to take hold of the truths today we're going to look at for your own life personally. There are things that we need to conquer. There are challenges that we face as individuals and as a church that we need to be able to see it from God's perspective. And many Christians today are suffering from a lack of seeing life, seeing challenges, seeing things that God brings into our life from His perspective. And if you can begin to see life from His perspective, it may give you the hope, the strength, and the power you need to go forward. It could be that your home needs to be strengthened this year. It could be that God gives you a new vision to reach people in your workplace with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And doesn't that still work? When people yield, they confess their sins and yield to their Savior Jesus Christ, their life is changed? The answer is yes. And we need to stay strong in that message. And we need to share it. We need to go forward as a church to say, Lord, we're going to accomplish everything that you have for us. No matter the challenges that are in front of us, we will go forward for your glory. And so these messages are designed to stir within us the faith needed to accomplish God's will in our lives, both as a church and personally. So I want us to begin with a very familiar story, one you've probably maybe heard all your life. And if you've not, you're going to hear it today for the very first time, the story of David and Goliath. The title of the message is Courage to Conquer Giants. Now, this story fascinates us, right? You've got this extremely tall man who is considered to be a giant. And he was in size and even in his spirit and how he treated others. And those things intimidate us. And that seems like a story from a movie. But I'm here to tell you the practicality of the doctrinal truths that we are going to learn are applicable in every area of our lives. And we need to understand how to have the courage to conquer whatever giants God brings into our lives. So here in 1 Samuel 17, we find the account of the story of a boy named David. And yes, he was considered a boy at this time. And a giant named Goliath. And as we walk through this chapter in the Bible, we will not do it in a speedy fashion. We're going to take our time. We're going to take an in-depth look so that we can mine all of the doctrinal truths needed to fully understand what it means to have the courage to conquer giants. I want us to live the victorious Christian life. I don't want us to be overcome by life, but I want us to overcome life in God. And I don't want you to be defeated. God doesn't want you to be defeated. And whatever giants you're facing personally, whatever giants we're going to face as a church, God is big enough. God is greater than everything that seems to want to overwhelm us. And just as David overcame Goliath by God's power, we too can overcome giants by God's power. He will give us the courage to conquer both our fears and our foes that we are facing in this new year, no matter what they may be. So I want to begin by reading in 1 Samuel chapter 17, and we're going to address the first 26 verses today. And I'll walk us through this in a divided way so that we can take it in and fully understand it. But as an introduction, let me begin by reading the first three verses. And it says this, "Now the Philistines," and you have to remember the Philistines were Israel's arch enemy, "they gathered their forces for war and assembled at Socoh in Judah. They pitched camp at Ephes-Damim between Socoh and Azekah. Saul and the Israelites assembled and camped in the valley of Elah and drew up their battle line to meet the Philistines. The Philistines occupied one hill and the Israelites another, with the valley between them." So what you get is a picture of an army on one hill, the Philistines, and over on the other hill are the Israelites. And the hills would come down and there would be a valley. And no one was camping in the valley, obviously, because that was a position that put you at risk. You would go up on the high land and up on the hill, and then they would face off against their arch enemy, the Philistines. So, what happens? Let's take a look. I'm going to give you three things today, three facts concerning giants. And the first is this, is that God knows that our giants are frightening. We're going to continue to read verses 4 through 11, and you will note in verse 11 the amount of fear that Israel had toward Goliath the giant. Well, let's make our way down as we read. Verse 4 says this, "A champion," meaning he'd won many battles, "named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp." And this begins to paint the picture of what the Israelites saw. "He was over 9 feet tall. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he wore a coat of scale armor of bronze weighing 5,000 shekels. That's 125 pounds. On his legs, he wore bronze greaves, and bronze javelin was slung on his back. His spear shaft was like a weaver's rod, and its iron point weighed 600 shekels. That's 17 pounds. His shield bearer went ahead of him. Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, 'Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and you are not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. And if he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us.' Then the Philistine said, 'This day I defy the ranks of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other.' On hearing the Philistine's words, Saul and all the Israelites," okay, from the top down, from the king all the way down, "Saul and the Israelites were dismayed and terrified." Now, here you have Goliath calling out for a match of one-on-one battlefield combat. Now, I don't know about you, but the only one-on-one I've ever participated in is basketball. Growing up, we always played one-on-one. Winner takes all. Well, here it's winner takes all, meaning that if I kill you in a battle, then y'all become my servants. This was serious challenge. And this is a fighting to the death. And whoever loses their army will become the slave of the other army. Who could accept such a challenge? Well, out of all of Israel, from Saul all the way through the whole ranks of all the soldiers, no one would. Why? Because Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. Now that will tell you how significant the influence of Goliath was over all of these fighting men. And I'm telling you, there were men there that had experience. There were men there who had battle experience. They were strong. They were warriors. But they were frightened. And what's so amazing about the story is we know that David comes along as a boy and he is not frightened. But here we find that Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. They were broken and filled with fear. Now, I'm not going to judge them. I've been filled with fear myself many times, and maybe you're filled with fear today. Whatever it is that's coming against you, whatever may come against us as a church may fill us with fear. But I want to say to you, that's not an unnormal thing. It is something that can happen to us, and here's why. Because giants can be, yes, visually intimidating. You know, they come in all shapes and sizes. The giant here, Goliath, is a 9'9" tall person. He's wearing 150 pounds of armor. He has, listen, that's from head to toe. He had bronze shin guards, bronze javelin, spear with an iron point weighing 17 pounds. He carried a sword. He had a shield bearer in front of him for defense. And when the Israelites and Saul looked at this man, they could see absolutely no way to defeat this giant. They were overwhelmed with fear. They had sized up the enemy. They had listened to him, and they were absolutely overwhelmed. What enemy do you have that you are sizing up? Sometimes when I look at all the challenges that may face us in the year ahead, I get overcome with fear, and I stop. And I pick up God's word and say, God, is this challenge bigger than us? The answer is no, it's not, because it's not bigger than God. But when we focus on the things that are before us, and they're visually intimidating, they frighten us. It made me think about, yes, playing basketball, but not one-on-one, but on a team. Played a lot of basketball growing up, and when we would go out, our school would go out, the other team would come out, and they do their warm-ups. You know what the purpose of a warm-up is? Yes, it's to warm you up, shoot a few hoops, but a lot of times warm-ups are for intimidation. You come out so that you can intimidate the other team. And a lot of teams are good at that. And if you get a guy that's a little taller and more athletic and they can dunk a ball, boy, they love to dunk, and then everybody goes crazy, and it's like an intimidation, like, we're going to take you down. And you know how the center court is, and you come out and you shoot your layup and you go out and you kind of circle back around and you get back in line to get a rebound and then go do it on the other side and get a layup, right? You know how that is? It's that center court intimidation. If you ever played any ball, you know when the other team comes up, you say a little something to intimidate them. And so we would always go out, and that whole intimidation process would be going on, and you would be visually looking at your opponent. And guys on our team, they were famous, some of them were, for sizing up the opponent and defeating themselves before the game ever started. And it drove me crazy. And I was the shortest person on the team. And they'd come out and they'd go, oh, they're so tall. And that one guy almost dunked. And then that other guy, he dunked. And you go back to the bench and they're all dismayed and they're defeated before they ever start the game. So we were in line and one of the guys said to me, did you hear what they just said? Did you just see what they just did? Man, they're bigger than we are. I looked at one of our players and I said, listen, that just means we got to go faster. The bigger they are, the slower they are. We'll just run harder. We will run around them. We'll run under them. Whatever it takes, we're going to win. And I couldn't stand the negativity because they had sized up the giant and already defeated themselves before the game ever started. But see, that's what giants are good at. They're good at, you know, saying, I'm going to defeat you. You cannot win. Come on and just try it. And how often in life do we look at the giants that come into our life and we defeat ourselves by listening to the giant instead of listening to God? We have got to get God's perspective if we overcome things that are bigger than us, because God's bigger than anything that he allows in our lives. Well, this giant, he was visually intimidating. Not only was he visually intimidating, he's verbally intimidating. Giants have an ability to be arrogant, foul-mouthed, defiant. You find all of those things true here with Goliath. The taunting voice, the intimidation that takes place. Why? Because giants want us to focus on them instead of focus on God. See, if a team can get you to focus on how good they are and not focus on how you're going to play your game, you're defeated before you ever go out. And how often do we let things defeat us because we can't see what God sees and we can't see the God that's greater than any giant that comes into our life? See, giants cause us to doubt and second-guess ourselves, which means, ultimately, for the believer, we're not second-guessing ourselves. We are second-guessing God. What do our giants look like? What do they sound like? You should stop and ask yourself that question. Are you in a marriage relationship today that is struggling? Can I ask you a question? Is it beyond repair? Is it beyond healing? Is it beyond God restoring? The answer, it is not beyond. But what voices are you listening to? Are you listening to people around you that say, well, there's just no way that could be fixed? Everything's fixable in the Lord. You say, there's no way I can move forward. I have challenges in my life. Personally, where I can, no, there is hope in the Lord. That is the business He is in, is restoration of the heart, the change of the life by the truth of His word. And yes, we can change. So we have got to learn how to listen to God and not listen to the giants. We have got to have hope in the Lord and not defeat ourselves by listening to the giant. How David defined the giant, it's interesting to me, and it's worth noting this. He did not define the giant by his size, his gear, or his threats. He defined him this way, as the one who was defying the armies of Israel. That's what he had to say. He didn't get with the other guys and go, hey, guess what? Man, I can't believe how tall he is. I can't believe the armor he has. In fact, he's got an extra guy out front running defense for him. I can't believe it. He didn't talk about any of that. What got him, what got into his heart, what riled him up, what convictionally caused him to say what he said was this: who is this giant to defy the armies of the living God? That's what was stirring in him. You can see it in verse 26, 36, and 45. I would say today what we need is this. We need some hearts that'll be upset that God is being defied. We need some people who will be stirred that the world is defying the living God who has changed our life, who has called us to have purpose, who said, move forward in this way, accomplish my will until I return. Don't sit down, be defeated, and walk away because giants say we can't. We must. So I ask the question again, what is it in our lives that is defying God? What is challenging us? What is threatening us? What is intimidating us? What is mocking God in our lives? This is more than, listen, please understand this. Please grasp this. This is more than a military conflict. This is a spiritual battle that is taking place. See, modern day giants, what are they? Where do they come from? I'll tell you what they are, and they come in all different packages and types and kinds and ways, but any modern day giant is anything that is defying or attacking God in our lives. Anything. Anything. Now, in this instance, you've got Goliath, 9'9", the whole deal. But what is it that's defying God in your life? What's telling you that you can't when God says, I will? What is it that's in your life that's saying you can't go forward and grow in the Lord? What is it in your life that's saying you can't be a witness for the Lord? Just be quiet. Don't say anything. What is it in your life that says this year you can't grow deeper, be more faithful, watch God work, and have some victories in your life like you've never had before? What is it that is telling you that you can't? That's your giant. What is telling us that we can't go forward with the gospel, that we can't move forward in a healthy way to impact lives for years and generations to come?
whatever that is the giant we face.
And they come. Why? Because we're in a spiritual battle, not just a military battle. They're intimidating, they're frightening, they will cause you to be paralyzed. They consume you, overwhelm you to the point that you could lose hope and despair of life. It's fact. Let me ask you a question. Are giants external or internal or a combination of both? This is a very important thing to think about, because what we are dealing with initially here is an external giant who comes out to defy the armies of the living God. I want to give you another example in New Testament of an external giant that came out to stop the work and the will of God. This is in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 14 through 18. Paul faced off against this giant. His name was Alexander the metal worker. He came and he defied the work of the living God. And Alexander the metal worker, he said, did me a great deal of harm. The Lord will repay him for what he's done. You too should be on your guard against him, because he strongly, look at this, this is the indicator, he strongly opposed our message. See, it's spiritual. At my first offense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. But the Lord stood at my side. He gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed, that all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was delivered, what? From the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every what kind of attack? Evil attack. And will bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul in the New Testament, not just David in the Old Testament, faced these external giants that came against the proclamation of the gospel that is designed to change lives, because it is a spiritual work and it comes under spiritual attack. It's reality. But there's an internal attack, giants that get us as well. You know, I think about Peter, who faced an internal giant within himself after denying the Lord three times. You remember the story, right? And after he had denied the Lord three times, he went out into the night and he wept, and he was just broken down and wept bitterly. And he ultimately decided that he would just go back to fishing. And this is in John 21, verse 3. The Lord reinstates him. But he didn't feel worthy. Some of you here today, you fight this internal giant within you. And Satan comes along and he stokes the fire of that. He just kind of blows on it. We had a little fire last night for the grand girls to do some, roast some marshmallows. I had this little fire pit about this big. And Josh was blowing on it to kind of get it going. Well, that's what the enemy does. He likes to blow on those things that defeat us. And we begin to let those embers come to life with fire in our minds. And we begin to believe them. Oh, yeah, remember where you failed, or you remember last month when you did something you weren't supposed to do, and yeah, you asked God for forgiveness, but are you sure he forgives you? And are you even qualified to go forward and serve the Lord in the new year? What in the world? And it's this internal thing. Let me ask you a question. Is that the voice of God or the voice of the enemy? Is that the voice of a giant in your mind and heart internally that says you're not capable, you're not worthy, God can never use you again, and you just walk around defeated all the time? Are you finding that from the Word of God and the presence of the Holy Spirit by His Word, the positive truth about those realities come to light and you can move forward victoriously, not defeated by the internal voice of giants that are trying to tear you down? Giants walk the hallways of our schools, the office buildings, and homes. Sometimes they shout, and other times there's this lingering voice of doubt about our worth and our ability to live in victory. Ah, you're a nobody. You can't achieve anything. Your efforts are worthless. What good are you doing? That is not the talk of God or of the Holy Spirit by God's Word at all. Has your life been marked by abandonment, sexual abuse, depression, fear? Are you unable to get over your past? Are you unable to advance into the future because you're numb with fear? Do you struggle with thoughts of defeat? Do you wonder if God can even use you? If any of those things may be true for you, what I'm trying to say to you is you are up against some giants in your life. And if you don't put those giants into perspective, doesn't God's word say that it's His truth that sets us free and you shall be free and free indeed? Now, is that true or not true? Does God bring victory? Yes or no? Or does He just put us in this situation where we linger in this doubt and discouragement and we wonder and we can't get any vision to go forward? We can't conquer the giants that are constantly up in our minds and in our hearts, or even out here verbally coming against us? Whatever combination it may be, listen, I'm telling you, victory comes by seeing God and hearing God clearly. And whatever's standing in the way of God, you can overcome it in God. Giant enemies, giant sin problems that dominate our lives can be overcome by God. Giants are designed to destroy God's purposes in God's people. And it's time to stop the beatdown and to live in victory. I've had some interaction a number of weeks ago, with some individuals that, you know, I am convinced, and I won't go into the details of it, but I am convinced sent by the enemy to tear down and to say, you can't go forward and do anything for the Lord. Talking about us as a church. A voice from the past comes from nowhere. I'll tell you where it comes. It comes from the enemy. And it comes from Satan. Listen, it is an indicator to me, without a shadow of a doubt, we are accomplishing and in the center of the will of God when the enemy wants to come against you and tell you you cannot, when God's already said you can. And we need to take that to heart. And we need to go forward. And this is all the things that I'm saying. This is the dynamic you got to understand that was taking place between God's people, the Israelites, and the Philistines. This was a spiritual battle. So God knows, listen, God knows that giants are, yes, frightening, but let me tell you secondly that God allows giants in our lives. Look at verse 12. This is point number two, and let's let the story continue. Now David was the son of an Ephraimite named Jesse, who was from Bethlehem in Judah. Jesse had eight sons, and in Saul's time, he was old and well advanced in years. Jesse's three oldest sons had followed Saul to the war. The first was Eliab, the second, Abinadab, and the third, Shammah. David, the youngest, the three oldest, followed Saul. But David went back and forth from Saul to tend the father's sheep in Bethlehem. For 40 days, the Philistines came forward every morning and evening and took his stand. Now, that should be noted. 40 days, okay? Morning and night. Now, Jesse said to his son David, take this ephah of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread for your brothers and hurry to their camp. Take along these 10 cheeses to the commander of their unit. See how the brothers are and bring back some assurance from them. They are with Saul and all the men of Israel in the valley of Elah, fighting against the Philistines. Early in the morning, David left the flock with a shepherd, loaded up, and set out. And Jesse had directed, he reached the camp as the army was going out to its battle positions, shouting the war cry. Israel and the Philistines were drawing up their lines, facing each other. David left his things with the keeper's supplies, ran to the battle line, greeted his brothers. As he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, stepped out from his line and shouted his usual defiance. And David heard it. When the Israelites saw the man, they all ran from him in great fear. So we see the fear again. Giants, God allows them in our life. They confront us in our day-to-day activities of life. Brian Bell wrote these words. I thought they were interesting. He said, David had no idea that when he woke up that morn, he'd be nose to kneecap with a giant that afternoon. Giant problems often appear when you don't expect them. You know what? One of the things I'm looking forward to in heaven is no problems. Isn't that going to be great? I mean, just no responsibility to shoulder. Just peace. You don't have to put on the armor of God anymore. You don't have to pray and fight the spiritual battles. Now, God sustains until that day comes, but that's going to be one of the glories of heaven. But until heaven does come, the battle will rage, and the giants will come. And God allows the giants because we are in the war, and we have to accept that. You can't appease a giant. You can join them, but you cannot appease them. You cannot negotiate with them. You can only address them from God's perspective. But God says, I'll bring the giants in your life, Mark. I'm going to set things before you that you cannot do yourself. Mark, there are going to be things that only prayer and the Word of God can bring perspective and victory. And I'm like at times, oh God, can we have a break? The Lord says, no. You're in the war. Press on. And that's how it is. Let me tell you some of the things I've learned about God's plan to bring giants into our lives. One, I believe He does it because we will never look to God and trust Him for victory if we can handle everything. See, it builds our faith. It humbles us. It drives us to our knees. You think back across your life, the times and circumstances and situations that God broke you. And you found yourself in your bedroom, by your bed, on your knees, just crying out to God, God, what do I do? Right? Depending on Him, right? You can look back now, hindsight's 20/20, and you can thank God for those things, and you see the faithfulness of God, of how He worked, and the spiritual nature of it all. And then we tend to forget. And then God brings another giant, and there we are on our knees by our bed again. But that's not a bad place to be. Secondly, God knows that giants are necessary for spiritual growth. That's when we grow. That's when we see God like we've never seen Him before. And we watch Him do things we've never thought could happen. Thirdly, I believe giants are allowed in our life because God knows that giants are opportunities, listen, to be a witness. How God was going to use David in this giant situation was his life was going to be a witness to Saul, all the Israelites, and all the Philistines. It would begin to lay the foundation for his future leadership and life as king. It was a witnessing opportunity. He had prepared the way with the lion and the bear and his great faith to see how God had worked in those circumstances and can work in this one. It was an opportunity for witness. Fourthly, God knows that giants are just part of the spiritual reality in which we live. And you're not going to change that. I'm not going to change that. God's not going to change that because that's where we are. That's life. And even if we beg God to change it, it's just how life is carrying out. And that's why He's equipped us with the tools we need to be victorious. But we're not going to change any of that until we get to heaven. So when they come out, the giants, and they defy our God, if you and I, if we choose, like Saul and all of the military fighting men, if we choose to run and hide in fear, we will not grow spiritually. Whatever's before us as a church, if we'll embrace it and trust God, we're going to grow spiritually. The kingdom's going to grow spiritually. We're going to go forward, the same true personally. I don't want to miss my opportunity to be a witness. I don't want to miss my opportunity to live in the reality of God doing what I cannot do. We will never become all that God intends if we run and hide in fear from our giants. You want to handle your giant? Here's what we do. Here's what you do, what I do, what we ought to do. You got to face it head on. You got to fight in God's strength for God's glory. But let me tell you what too many believers do today. They get out and they do their warm-ups on the court. They go to half court and somebody says something to them. We're going to crush you tonight. Y'all got a pitiful looking team over here. And what we do is we hear that voice and we go sit on the bench and we never get in the game. I'm telling you, get in the game, you give it all you got, and you do it for God's glory, and you watch Him work. Don't listen to the voice of the giants. The third fact I want us to consider this morning concerning giants is this, is that God is bigger than our giants. Verse 25 and 26 say this. Now the Israelites have been saying, "Do you see how this man keeps coming out? He comes out to defy Israel. The king will give great wealth to the man who kills him." So we'll get money on the table. "He will also give him his daughter in marriage." I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but we throw the daughter in there. "And he will exempt his father's family from taxes in Israel." Now we probably all say, well, that's a good one. Tax exempt for life. Here we go. Verse 26, David asked the men standing near him, "What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" Now, I'm here to tell you, I don't think he cared about the money, the daughter, or the taxes. What was on his heart was this was an uncircumcised Philistine defying the armies of the living God. That's what was bothering David. That's why he couldn't help but speak up. You say he wasn't military age. He wasn't as strong as anybody else. You know what? David didn't care. This is a matter of conviction, spiritual principle. Come on, guys, what is going on here? Isn't it interesting that verse 16 tells us that Goliath had come out and challenged them 80 times? That's every morning, every night for 40 days. I'll tell you what that's about. That's about getting in their heads, and they were self-defeated. What are you listening to? Who are you listening to? No matter how God leads us and how we go forward, I promise every person in here, you're going to have a naysayer that's going to get in your ear and tell you, you cannot. For 40 days and 40 nights. And I want to say to you, I want to be like David, and I want to say, God can. Please don't defy the work of God, what God's doing. It's been validated, laid forth, laid out. Here we go. I'm trusting in what God wants to do. See, Goliath is the cause David saw facing God's people at that moment in history. Did you know at this moment in history, you and I face giants? They may be not 9 feet, nine with a foul mouth and the whole deal, 40 days, 40 nights of getting in our heads, but they're out there and they come. You should anticipate it. You should be prepared for it. And let me tell you this story about the giant and about David. That's really not the focus of the text. This text, this story is about God. Not the giant or David, although we can learn from both of them. This is about the work of God. Goliath was not bigger or stronger than the God who created him. Yeah, he created him. He gave him his stature. He gave him his strength. His heart was beating. His blood was pumping because God allowed it. He's creator. And there's not a giant bigger than our God today. Saul and the fighting men should have been dependent and trusting, not dismaying and terrified. They saw it as their battle, not God's battle, and that's their problem. Their strength against the giant's strength. That's the wrong perspective. What David saw when he saw Goliath, he saw him from God's point of view. It's almost a looking down from God's perspective. It's about getting God's perspective. David's scream was filled with God's honor. And for him to say somebody would defy him or be greater than him, listen, he just couldn't see it. Because he saw so much God, Goliath looked about this big up against God. He saw God first and Goliath second. And that makes all the difference. And that's what I have to remind myself. Mark, you got to, God says, Mark, you got to see me. Don't count me out. Don't remove the God equation of what God is going to do. Yes, there's always other players involved, and people have selfish motives, and people want to do things that's best for them, and you may sense that, see that, and it's all mixed up in all of what God's doing. But ultimately, what I rest in is this is about God, God's will, God's way. Don't count God out, even if others are involved for their own selfish purposes. I want to ask you a very deep theological question. For the 40 days and the 40 nights that the giant came out to defy the armies of the living God, here's my question. Was God there? Was he there? Or was he taking a nap? Was he on vacation? Was God there? The answer is God was there. Now, which one's bigger? Which one's greater? Who do you listen to? Do you want to face and conquer your giants? If so, you got to get your focus on the living God. And you got to fight for him, his honor, his glory, and he will fight for you. You got to measure your giants up against God and how great he is. As I thought about all that God has before us, some of the challenges we've faced even behind the scenes that you may or may not know about, God keeps taking me back to a text in Nehemiah chapter 4. And he won't let me get away from it. And that's okay. It's a good thing because it helps me see God in light of the challenges, in light of the voices of the giants. And I want to read this to you, and I think you can make the application yourself. And then I'm going to close in prayer and ask you to deal with your giants and our giants from God's point of view. But would you listen to this in Nehemiah chapter 4? This is the opposition that came to the rebuilding of the wall in Jerusalem. Verse 1, when Sanballat, and I've had a lot of Sanballats in my life, heard that we were rebuilding the wall, that is doing the work of God, he became angry. You think, well, why would somebody be angry if you're doing the work of God? Because it's spiritual. Not only did he become angry, he was greatly, listen to this, incensed. He ridiculed the Jews. That's a verbal attack. He's going to ridicule them. And watch what happens. And in the presence of his associates and the army of Samaria, here's what he said. What are those feeble Jews doing? He's casting doubt. Will they restore their wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Now he's criticizing and is questioning. Can they bring the stones back to life from those heaps of rubble burned as they are? Now, that's not the guy you want to invite over for dinner to get some encouragement from. I mean, he's out to destroy you, distract you, tell you you cannot, will not ever succeed serving the Lord. How many voices are like that in our lives? Oh, Tobiah gets in on it too. Tobiah the Ammonite, who was at his side, said, he joins in. You know, you always got those that are going to jump in there too. And he says, what are they building? And even if a fox climbed up on it, it would break down their walls of stone. Now, the Bible doesn't say this, but I can insert laughter, 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 laughter. Oh, that was really funny, Tobiah. You know, the fox gets on it and the whole thing falls down. They're all, you know, laughing as loud as they can, laughing at those who want to rebuild the walls for the glory of God. Does that bother you if somebody's going to laugh at you because you believe in what God's doing in our church or what God's going to do in and through your life in 2024? Are you okay if somebody laughs? Are you okay if people raise questions to criticize you? Let me tell you what God's people did. Here's what they did. They prayed, verse 4, hear us, O our God, for we are despised. Did you know the work of the Lord can bring people into your life who would despise you? Giants like Goliath, these men like Sanballat and Tobiah, turn their insults back on their heads. Give them over as plunder in a land of captivity. Do not cover up their guilt or blot out their sins, from your sight. They have thrown insults in the face of the builders. So they prayed first. And then verse 6, here's what happened after they prayed. So we rebuilt the wall till all of it reached half its height, for the people worked with all their heart. They prayed and they worked with all their heart. They got perspective from God, and they continued the work for His glory. When I've gotten discouraged, I get down on my knees and I just pray, Lord, I don't know where this voice from this giant is coming and what's going on with this, but I'm going to trust it to You. I'm going to get up off my knees, and I'm going to go forward to accomplish Your will, and I'm going to work at it with all my heart so that You'll be glorified. And after I've prayed in that way, something unique happens. I feel encouraged. Actually, I feel validated that I'm accomplishing the will of God. Because when the enemy works so hard to try to stop you, you can be assured you're on the right track of accomplishing the spiritual work God's called you to. That's personally and as a church as a whole.
Thanks for listening. To hear more messages like this, make sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel for previous episodes. And if you like what you're hearing, consider sharing this with a friend to help us spread the good news of Jesus. For more content from Curtis, go to curtisbc.org.